Welcome back, everyone, to Stack the Pads for the 2020-2021 season, which is getting close to the 2021 year, which is crazy now. Today, we have another special guest. We have a dynamic and outstanding goalie talent. She's had a phenomenal rookie season last year with a .925 save percentage, which set a top five record for single season save percentages in RMU history. She was named the CHA All Rookie Goalie of the Year last year, and now she's a four-time CHA Goaltender of the Week, one of the two very talented and extraordinary goaltenders we have at RMU. Please welcome in sophomore Reagan Kirk.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you guys had two games since our last episode, and these were the first games that you guys were actually able to travel to. What was the overall travel like, you know, given the fact that, you know, everything going on?
Yeah, it was very different with COVID, obviously. We flew there and we bused back, the long bus ride back, which is still just as bad as it was last year. But we just try to be, you know, as safe and precautious as possible going through the airports and whatnot. Definitely a little quieter, I must say, in the hotels and stuff, but still a great experience.
How long was the drive back?
I was about 10 hours, 10 or 11.
And you mentioned how, obviously, it's a long trip. Lindenwood's the farthest you guys are traveling in the regular season. Yep. How did that really allow you guys to embrace and have some bonding time as a team?
Yeah, especially at the start of the season, like our third and fourth game. Definitely, you know, we had our rookie idol, of course, with the small freshman class. Definitely a long road trip back. It's good to have a win, obviously, after one of those, having a long road trip. But we've had lots of time to bond, obviously, even without games. So I think it was nice to finally get some games under our belt before the Christmas break.
Yeah, Kylie Hanslick told us last week that you guys had some sort of Thanksgiving cook-off.
We did, yes, American Thanksgiving. It's nice Canadian, you actually get two Thanksgivings.
Exactly,
Yeah, we did have a little cook-off just for fun. Obviously, you get to eat the food after, which is a bonus.
Yeah. But were you on the team that won?
Worst cook?
I was not on the team that won, unfortunately. I think we came in like third place, but we had like a buffalo chicken dip my group made. I don't understand how we didn't win, but.
Yeah. John, what were you saying?
Who's the best cook and who's the worst cook on the team?
I'm not sure. It's hard when you live on campus. You don't get a lot of experience, but the winning team, I think they had a good fancy dish. And there was like chicken gnocchi too. I think that's pretty tough to make. So I think that was Emily Curlett's group. They made the soup, which is pretty impressive in the small time slot that we had. But
you have any other good off-ice stories about you guys just bonding, you know, given everything that's going on? It's been harder, I guess, to, you know, be able to bond with your teammates.
Yeah, obviously it's really tough and you don't want to go out anywhere, obviously. So just spending lots of time outdoors. We have a lot of fun, the group of us that live on campus doing different things. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's hard to do team bonding events like going camping or anything. We weren't able to do this year, so we just try and spend as much time as possible together at the rink and whatnot.
Yeah, you guys have had four games now, just overall in the season, all CHA matchups. What has it been like to get used to the protocols put in place due to COVID? And what are your overall thoughts on like the tone of the season so far? Because there's no fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're playing games on Thursday nights. What is that overall feeling like?
Yeah, it's very different, especially, you know, this time last year we would have been near the end of the first half and you're tired and you're just ready to go home. But now we're just kind of starting, right? So it's very different. Yeah. And then they had the mask kind of protocol come into place for like our area. We didn't really have, it wasn't like as strict before, but now we wear the gaiters around our neck. And for O Canada, you're not allowed to shake the opposing team's hand after the game, which is very different. So I think we just try to be ready for every opportunity that comes, because you never know when things might get shut down. And I think we're very fortunate because there's Canadian teams here and other teams in the States that don't have the opportunity to play at all this year. So I think we're just thankful to get on the ice.
You're used to wearing masks though. So
yeah. Yeah.
Has it been easier or harder for you to get up for games this year? Like easier in the sense that, I mean, you didn't get to play, as you mentioned earlier, like when a normal season would start, or is it harder because of everything that's going on?
I'd say a bit of both. Kind of easier, like we've had a lot of practice time. You know, we're practicing almost every day throughout the week. We had like 2 months right before. But then there's a lot of unknown because usually you'd have exhibition games or you'd play out a conference. You get those under your belt before you go into league play. And then we were just thrown in league play right away. You're playing the same team four times kind of thing. So I think we just tried to do our best. It was a little rusty the first couple games, I'll admit. But I think the second half, I'm not sure what our schedule is like yet, but it'll be exciting either way.
Yeah, you have a big gap in the schedule right now due to Christmas break overall. Well, let's get to that Lindenwood recap for the second part of that, I guess, series of a series there. Game one was a 4-0 win, which is, well, first off, what was your initial reaction to learning about the early parts of the schedule? We kind of touched on it earlier, but like you play Lindenwood four times in back-to-back weeks, and then you're off until January, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think there was plans like we would play end of November and then it kind of kept getting pushed back. So we just got four games. I wasn't surprised we were going to play the same team. It's kind of nice to get that far travel out of the way early on too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would have been nice, you know, to play other teams too. And then you get an idea of them for the second half. But it wasn't bad. No, Lindenwood, I think they're stronger than they were last year. So it was nice to play them. Definitely different playing the same team four times in a row. That's for sure, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that first game was Angelica Diffendahl's 100th career game. Joelle Fiala and Lexi Templeman opened up the scoring in that one. And then Diffendahl in her 100th game got the third goal for RMU. And then Templeman got an assist on Boyle's goal for 100 career points. So a couple of milestones in that game. And then you as well with a 32-save shutout, which went on to win CHA Goalie of the Week. And then game two was a 2-1 overtime win. Ariel DeSmit starts in this one. Ellie Markowski, she scored her second goal of the season. And then Megan Wagner scored for Lindenwood. Both goals came in the second. Was there a difference in terms of tone from what you saw from these two games? It seems as if, you know, the first game was kind of like a goal fest. And then the second was, you know, a closer match.
Yeah, definitely. I think in the second game, we just had bad puck luck, you know, getting their goalie played really well, too, which obviously helped Lindenwood. And it's hard to get the momentum going when you know, in the first game, we got a couple goals right under our belt, and then you kind of go up from there. And then it's hard if you don't score for a while, you're getting lots of shots, it gets frustrating, but then you just have to find a way. And then with the new rule with overtime, too, it's 3-on-3. And I think our team does very well offensively 3-on-3. So Jal was able to go on the breakaway and do her thing.
Yeah, that was 51 seconds. And did that change this season?
Yes, it used to be 5-on-5, I believe, last year.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah, and then what did you – obviously you mentioned Lindenwood's a bit stronger than what you might think, but what did you see from them overall? Obviously the past few years they've been sort of towards the bottom of the standings, but what did you think of them – obviously, you're not going to play them anymore, but what do you think of how they played this week or last week?
I think they're a very hardworking team. And like offensively, I think they were stronger this year. And their power play, too, they like to put the girls in the back door, which is how they got me in the first game. So we just, you know, try not to get penalties, obviously. I think they got a lot of penalties their first half, I've seen. So we just try to use the power play. We have a strong power play and use that to our advantage.
John, do you remember from last year? I think Michaela Boyle told us that Lindenwood was the team that had to have a forward in net or something like that. They went through injuries. I don't know if that's correct, but there was one team in the CHA that had to have that. I think it was Lindenwood.
I think it was them too, yeah. And they played against Syracuse and yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I also heard this isn't – I forget how true this is, but I heard that LIU might be joining the CHA. Do you know anything about that at all, Reagan?
No, that's the first I've heard of it.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought I heard that somewhere, so that might be interesting looking at next year because I know their men's team is playing against some of the Atlantic Hockey teams this year.
I'm still confused on why Lindenwood's in the conference given the fact that they're in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a far, far trek for a lot of the teams.
So. Yeah, anyways, overall, on this weekend, Angelica Diffendahl had a good weekend, and then Templeman, of course, with the milestones. What have you seen from the seniors on this team, especially, you know, Diffendahl and Templeman, who had these milestones this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I've only played with them for the past 2 years, but I've seen them grow a lot compared to last year to this year, and they're great, a great leadership group that we have with Lexi and both the Emilys, right? So I think they're amazing. They really push us to be better, definitely in these unprecedented times. But yeah, they're great. It'll definitely be sad the end of this year. It's coming on quick, but they're a great group to have.
And then obviously, how nice is it just to start overall, first off, to have a season this year, and then also start the season off well 4-0?
It's definitely a good feeling. Usually we'd play, you know, those tougher, higher ranked teams and you're battling out, but you saw it last year. We had a couple losses and they were tough losses. We worked really hard. So it's nice to go into break 4-0 and then continue to play conference wise. Hopefully we get a couple out of conference games. I'm not sure what the plan is for that and what the rules allow. Right. But
yeah. Moving on to just the overall standings. We've received some votes in the USCHO with women's receiving 3 votes and then men's hockey receiving enough votes to get them ranked 20th overall. And then up to the AHA, and then updating in the AHA standings, Robert Morris is at the top with 9 conference points, 3-1 overall record. Of course, they did not play this week. And then women's hockey, not first despite having a perfect record. Penn State had an extra game there, so they have a 1 extra conference point, but Robert Morris still 4-0 on the season. And then, as we mentioned earlier, Reagan Kirk is the CHA goaltender of the week. And before we're going to move on to men's hockey here, I want to do the thing that I kind of started last episode with Kylie. We're just going to do 5 random questions.
Okay.
And they're going to be, they don't have to be hockey related. Some of them will be hockey related. They're just going to be completely random. You're going to answer them as fast as you can. And we'll chat about it at the end. You ready?
Right. Yep.
All right. Favorite Christmas movie?
Elf.
What genre of music is your favorite?
Country.
Who is the one teammate on plane trips that will never shut up?
Angelica.
Black or white tape?
White tape.
Which brand of equipment is the best?
Well, I'm goalie, so Vaughn, but Bauer for everybody else,
I guess. Okay. Yeah, well, John even wrote in the script here, he said he put money on Michaela Boyle to be the loudest.
She's up there too.
Yeah. What is it about Jell that makes her so energetic?
She's just a funny girl. She always got a lot of energy. She's tall too, so it's hard to miss her wherever you go.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of fun, all of us. So.
I just remember interviewing her after a game once and she came out with these like Scooby-Doo socks. Yeah.
And you mentioned country music's your favorite. Any artists you like to listen to?
No, I've got a wide variety. Like Kane Brown, different people, Morgan Wallen, the basics.
Is that unpopular for the team? Do most of the people on the team listen to country music or is it kind of just you?
I think it's, a good portion of us like country music. Well, probably not to hype us up before a game, but, practices and stuff. But
What's your go-to hype song?
Hype song. I'm not a big music player. Before games and stuff, I'll listen to it in the car. There's different SoundCloud stuff I'll listen to. But
are you Spotify or Apple Music?
I'm a Spotify girl.
Good. I don't trust anyone that uses Apple Music.
Yeah.
Elf's a good choice. It's kind of probably the best Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of good Christmas movies.
No, I'd say Home Alone. Really probably just the first one though is a good.
Yeah.
One too.
Polar Express is my favorite.
Polar Express. Yeah.
Is there any superstition with the white tape?
No, I just think it's easier to see the puck for me personally, and I couldn't imagine ever taping my stick with black tape. But
yeah, I always like the idea of having whiter, because you can see the puck marks on them.
Yeah,
and it makes it look more like battle ready and battle tested. I've never used Vaughn equipment. I'm not a goalie, so. All right. Well. Let's move on to men's hockey real quick. And the fact that there were no matchups this week, as the December 11th and December 12th matchups versus Niagara were postponed due to everything that's going on. They were originally set to be a home and home, and men's hockey is up playing next against Bowling Green December 29th, if everything goes as planned.
They're finishing up a home and home they did.
They're doing a weird Bowling Green home and home. They did it was like a week or two ago where they played the first game and then now they're playing the second game. Yeah, it's interesting. And then we still have men's hockey news though, as of course we mentioned earlier, men's hockey is top 20 in the NCAA with the USCHO rankings, which just came out 2 days ago. And then Jordan Timmons, he won the AHA Player of the Week for the second week of December as he had a natural hat trick against Air Force. And then Randy Hernandez.
On Colonial Sports Network, Nathan Breisinger just went up at noon today. There's a feature story about him. Breisinger interviewed him. That'll be good to check out.
And then Randy Hernandez, he won the AHA Rookie of the Month for November with 2 goals and 3 points in his first 4 games. Both of his goals were game-winning goals. Nick Perkusik won the AHA Player of the Month, and he had 6 points in 4 games as RMU's leading scorer. How is the women's team overall looking, you know, at the men's team and kind of just following them so far?
Are you asking me? Sorry?
Both of you.
I think we're both doing really well. We've had the opportunity, like a group of us from the team, like to watch the men's team online, and they're doing really well, especially, you know, their freshmen coming in too. It's great to see them ranked as well. It's tough. I think it's just about, you know, how your win percentage at the end, because not every team will get the same amount of games played. So you kind of take every opportunity that you get and try your best.
I asked this to Kylie last week. I was curious to see if there was any sort of like, not jealousy, but like kind of like a fear of missing out in terms like men's hockey has played 7 or 9 games so far. And they've been able to travel. And you guys are at the other end where you're only playing 4 games against the same team that is in conference. I wonder if there was any sort of like, you know, just looking at what it could have been in terms of a start to the CHA.
Yeah, it's definitely different between the men's and the women's. And I think that's kind of everywhere. They've got a lot more games than us, but which is nice for them. But we'll get a lot next semester, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And then I just wondered, what is it like with to have this hiatus that you're on right now? Because, I mean, you just got back for the 2 weeks, and then now you're off until January, so you're off for a month. Is it easier given the fact that you just, you know, were off the ice for a decent amount of time due to COVID, or is it going to be even harder to get back in January now?
I think a little bit of both. Like for me, everything is closed here. So it's, you know, it's hard to get on the ice or in the gym. You're back to the home workout thing. I'm in quarantine right now too, as a Canadian. So it's a little frustrating that way, but we do have a couple weeks when we get back before we start to play into games again. And I think we all know what we need to do to get back into that shape that we were when we played against Lindenwood, and we have some tough games coming up. So
do you have an outdoor rink?
I do. Yes.
Really?
We haven't had one in previous years, but my brother made it while I was away, so we've been on it quite a bit.
Yeah, that's got to be good for you, especially as a goalie, because, I mean, as a forward or a defenseman, you'd probably want more ice. And I guess just as a goalie, you don't really need that much ice to practice, at least.
Right, yeah.
How hard has it been to you to get back in, like, shape? Is it been harder? I mean, I guess you don't really have anything to compare because you only play goalie and you don't play, like, every position. But is it hard? In your mind, was it hard to get back in the game shape, given, you know, the fact that you had to go on a hiatus?
I think it's more like getting your eyes ready and like reactionary response rather than like conditioning. Because, yeah, it's like a small area, the crease that I have to work in compared to the whole ice. But just getting the feel of the puck every practice and get back into it.
And what was your off season? And then obviously, in between games to work on that hand-eye coordination, what sort of exercises do you do?
I do a lot of ball work, like before games and at home during the summer, like juggling and whatnot. A lot of foot speed too you got to work on because you're on your toes a lot as a goalie. So that's what I work on like before games and during the summer. You just try and get ready because you never know when you're going to play. But yeah.
Did you ever play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, I was big into soccer. I started up ball hockey this past summer, and not in goalie though. I played out because I like to run.
Okay.
I used to be defense actually on the ice, so I guess that's where I got into the running sort of part off the ice. It's nice to get a break from getting things shot at you all the time. But
how different is ball hockey from how different is that from normal hockey?
It's definitely different because you can't really glide, right? You're always constantly running, and the ball's hard to catch. It's definitely tiring, but it's a shorter game too. and playing. I was one of the older people on my team, so it's definitely different age groups too.
Did you play goalie when you played soccer too?
No, I was forward, like striker when I played soccer.
And you mentioned you used to play defenseman when you were younger for hockey. How has that sort of changed moving from being one of the last lines to of defense to the last line of defense?
Yeah, I think I have it was only about like 6 years ago that I made the switch to goalie. I think it gives me perspective because I know where the defense are supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. And so it gives me opportunity to kind of understand like the hockey IQ better for them as well. But yeah, now I'm really back there, last line of defense.
What made you switch?
Well, my brother was a goalie before me. And then from my small town, like we had a female team kind of start up and we needed a goalie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I got the equipment. And then I kind of started and never left. So here nice. I am.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a good skill to have that awareness and that hockey IQ to be able to know where your defensemen are overall. Moving on, I want to talk about something that I don't know, just kind of been thinking about overall with RMU hockey. I want to talk about the underclassmen. What have you seen from the freshmen and the sophomores? I mean, you're part of that group as well. Mm-hmm. And I really think not just for women's, but for men's as well. I think that's really pivotal to the success of both teams. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Just seeing from my class compared to last year to this year, like the amount of confidence they have, and we're all getting more playing time now, which is great to see. And we do have a smaller freshman class this year, but you've seen that Ellie's got 2 goals already under her belt, which is awesome. And even from the men's side too, you know, like you mentioned about Randy Hernandez, like one of the best players on the men's team right now. So it's great to see everybody stepping up.
I don't know. I think just overall, like we don't have a JC Gebhardt or a Brady Ferguson on either team anymore. And that's not a bad thing. We don't have, you know, the superstar player. I think, you know, the main leaders on both teams, which I would argue would be Lexi for the women's and Nick Perkusik for men's. They're not the most skilled players in the world, but they still contribute off of hard work. And, you know, they lead by example. Yeah. I think RMU hockey overall has a great mixture of youth and veteran experience, because like look at some of the freshmen on both teams. You mentioned Ellie and then Randy Hernandez, and then the sophomores, Santeri Hartikainen might be the most skilled player on the men's team. And then for women's, you have Joel Fiala, Maggie Burbage, Anna Fairman, Allison Hebert, Maura Wagner, and then yourself. And then you mix that together with, you know, the Nick Perkusik, Alexi Templemans. I think just RMU hockey as an organization is really coming into its own in terms of the culture in which they develop players.
Yeah, I'd have to agree completely, yeah.
And then you also look at, like, the roles that transfers have been playing. Like, obviously, we talked about Jordan Timmons, Michaela Boyle have both.
Justin Kappelmaster last year.
Yeah, Justin Kappelmaster have all been great different.
Kylie Hanslick, yeah. I just think there's a culture that we have at RMU here that's really, really special. And I don't know, do you agree with that in terms of Reagan, did you feel it, kind of just embrace the culture? Was there like an overwhelming sense of this is how you're going to play and this is how we play as a team?
Yeah, that's as soon as I walked in freshman year last year, and then even this year, it's not like a one line show or like, you know, we had JC who was very strong, you know, the strongest player on our team probably last year. But we were able to, everybody contributed on the team and we all work really hard. And, you know, she's not here this year, but we have people stepping up.
Yeah, exactly.
And we just work well as a team. And yeah, like you said, you see it on the men's team as well. And I think that's the whole culture here at RMU.
All right. Well, we have a little bit. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, did you get any offers from other schools? And if so, how did like RMU compare in that culture sense to them?
I definitely talked to different coaches. I think, you know, everybody did, obviously. But for RMU, it was like the small class size, obviously. And then, yeah, like the team culture. I went and watched a game over American Thanksgiving break, and just the size of the campus as well, and just how coach talked about the program and how everybody works hard. It reminded me a lot of my midget team that I played on, kind of like the middle, top of the pack. You know, you're in the top three kind of thing, and you continue to battle and work. It's not ever a for sure win. You have to work for everything that you want to earn, right?
Yeah, I've heard about a lot of. Like when I ask players, especially on the women's team, on why they came to RMU, I get a lot of them answer like you did, that it was a small school. What sort of, I guess, impact does that have on your playing in terms of, like, how much is that a benefit? Because I always get told that being a small school is a benefit.
I'd say probably, like, off the ice, you get to meet a lot of new people. And then also on the ice, the community, like, the people that come to watch our games and, like, the band, obviously, I think it helps a lot. We don't get a lot of fans, sure, especially for female hockey and even now with COVID too. But the people that do come, the support that we have from such a small school, especially being off campus too, I think is really amazing.
Well, since we have a little bit of time left, I want to get, we have John back here. I don't know how big of an American football fan you are, Reagan, but John, go ahead and tell us what happened in that Bills Steelers game.
What happened in the Bills Steelers game? The Bills kicked the butt of the Steelers. Big Ben did not look good at all. First half was a bit rough for both teams, but second half, Bills dominated.
Are you a NFL fan there, Reagan?
Not a big football person. I was keeping up with the Steelers, though, and I did see that they were 10-0 at one point, which is pretty awesome. But
yeah, 11-2 now because the Bills have to exist. All right, well,
up next, and the Washington football team.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're whatever. Well, up next for both teams is Christmas because we got a hiatus here. And I'm excited for, of course, Christmas, and I'm really excited for the World Juniors this year. What does everyone want for Christmas? John, you go first.
What do I want? Hockey to be back.
Yeah.
Reagan? I'd also have to agree with that. I'd like to finish out the season, obviously, and for the health and safety of all my friends and family and teammates too.
What about you, Owen?
I don't know. I'll probably do my typical Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup wish, as always. I mean, it's worked 3 times in my life, so. All right, and then after the break, of course, men's hockey, we mentioned earlier, plays Bowling Green December 29th, and then women's hockey isn't back until January 15th, which is when we go back. We go back the 14th for just traditional RMU students. So we'll see you guys then, I'm sure. John, do you know if there's going to be a broadcast for that, or is it too soon to tell?
I'd assume there would be, but it's too soon to tell.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But an overall good start for both clubs here, men's and women's, on this 2020-2021 non-traditional year. So thank you, Reagan, for joining us. We might not have an episode next week due to Christmas, but stay tuned. And again, yeah, thank you, Reagan, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great Christmas, guys.
Yep. And yeah, you too. And then Century Media Live Sports Broadcast will be there for your games once we get back in the swing of things. You can follow me on Twitter at @okreps85, and then Kreps Century, and then John's at CSN Hannah. And we'll see you guys next time.
And Reagan, do you have a Twitter you'd like to plug real quick?
I believe it's just ReaganKirk01, possibly. Couldn't know it off by heart, but I'm sure it's not hard to find. Not a lot of people with my name, but.
All right. Well, thank you once again.
All right, and we'll see you guys next week.
Awesome. Possibly. Thank you.
Yep.